today on Compassion Radio.
He's talking about things that really happened. He's not talking metaphorically. He says, you know me. Mm-hmm. You know what I was like in the pulpit. Paul is admitting and confessing that both those things are alive in him, emotion and logic. We think about him being the most logical and most reasonable and the most well-reasoned of the apostles because of how much he wrote that we read now. But it was his passion for the truth and relationship with Jesus that drove everything. And he's not afraid to remind them that this is where it's at. And we lose our effectiveness. Our passion gone means our strength and our effectiveness gone.
Mm-hmm.
Hello and welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Well, it's Monday, and that means it's time for Chasing the Word Together. In this weekly series, Bram and his wife Sandy take us on a journey into the lives of the earliest Christians with a look at what it means to have an authentic, world-changing faith. Here's Bram and Sandy to wrap up their study through chapter 20.
There's no reason why you and I are sitting in front of these mics other than God conspiring against us and maybe other plans we might have had to put us in a place that we were not expecting, which was to be in a place where this ministry would blossom in our hearts
mm-hmm.
and would become something that we were passionate about too. And now we have the microphone. But more than that, we have relationships with people who believe that God is doing things in this generation and will continue to do
mm-hmm.
them. My ambition, if I have an ambition, is simply to be able to pass the baton like this at the right time. Who knows what kind of technology will be available to us to communicate with people by the time we retire out of this work?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we never really retire, but retire from the program, perhaps. There are many other things that Compassion Radio dreamed of doing in the past 50, 60, 70 years that we're just beginning to revive.
Mm-hmm.
This year will be a time of new beginnings mm-hmm. for Compassion Radio and the company that is the shell over all of it called Compassion Ventures.
Amen.
We gladly take that responsibility, but it's with a lot of trepidation that I step into this role, and you too, honey. I don't know that anybody can really truly train for this kind of work.
No, I don't. I'm not sure what we would have done to train for it.
Other than to get out there and get our feet wet, literally, and go places that God is leading us to go. So is God in this? I'm sure of that. And there are all kinds of new apostle journeys that we're going out there to be reporters of. So if I identify with anybody in the story, it's Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to get out there and be an honest teller of stories.
Mm-hmm.
And not just the facts of what happened, like we're a newspaper, but the meaning and the relationships and how God himself was at work, because that's not something that's just about the material world.
Well, each story that we encounter has an impact that we can never fully see. And when we share those stories, it amazes me to think about the Holy Spirit's work in the lives of people who hear the stories that we bring to them on Compassion Radio.
The choices they're making to make a difference because they know that God's already prepared the way for them.
Well, honey, I'd like to say something to you too about this. God put you in a position for such a time as this, I think. I know that you and I have believed in the ministry of Compassion Radio for a lot of years. Years before you even worked as the producer for Compassion Radio, before that, because we believed in Norman Scher, we knew them, we loved them, we believed in the mission that God called them to through Compassion Radio and the things that they were doing, the work that God was enabling them to be a part of around the world was breathtaking to us. And we became passionate about that. And I just am excited that God has allowed that passion to grow over the years and that relationship to grow over the years and has given us the incredible and beautiful opportunity to be part of this ministry full time now, to go to the places that we've only dreamed about. And we've lived vicariously through Norman Scher for a lot of years. And through God's grace has kept us in this place to be able to be part of this ministry for more years than we can even imagine at this point.
Yeah, and it's an honor. The stories that we get to tell in our generation, honey, are about people and about what God's doing in the lives of these people. And many of these people that we bring to our listening audience are folks that are doing this work. We give profiles and courage, so to speak, of people that have stepped up. Again, this is God's choice. We could do our work in our own strength for a long time. My personality is such that I take great encouragement and strength and energy from exciting people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that much of a gregarious person. I'm not the butterfly in any room that gets around and finds out everybody's business. But I love people, and I love talking to them. So if it was only about our strength, we could get a long way. Yet I don't want to be about living in our own strength.
No.
I want God alive and well here in front of this microphone, that no matter what words come out of my mouth, His word comes first, so that we focus on the things, we listen to Him, and we say the things that He wants us to say, because He's already shaped the ear and shaped the heart of our listeners to receive that message when it arrives over the air or through the internet or through a letter. I just want Him to speak in a way that moves us to do the thing that He's already called and shaped us to do. We're a team, friends. The same thing is true in the way that Luke is writing this book of Acts about the team that God built through those years of bringing the gospel to the Jew first, then to the Greek, and the entire Roman Empire. We need to wrap up this chapter, so let's finish off these verses and see how it played out on the way to Jerusalem.
Well, there's a lot more in this chapter, few short verses we have left. So Paul continues to encourage them and to admonish them. And he tells them, I know that after I leave, imposters who have no loyalty to the flock will come among you like savage wolves. Even some from among your very own ranks will rise up, twisting the truth to seduce people into following them instead of Jesus. So be alert and discerning. Remember that for 3 years, night and day, I never stopped warning each of you, pouring out my heart to you with tears. We have to stop here because this part is so imperative. I mean, Paul is very strongly warning them that there will be people that will rise up to take away the truth, to tell lies, and to get people to follow them instead of Jesus. And even from among your ranks, he says, this has got to be sobering to them.
In that moment, I'm sure it was. The danger's real in every generation. He's also passionate. So this is a pathos as well as the ethos. He's got the ideas, the logic, all the reasoning, all the knowledge of the Word of God, but also the heart of Christ himself pouring out. And when you say, I urged you with tears, great supplication, he's talking about things that really happened. He's not talking metaphorically. He says, you know me. You know what I was like in the pulpit. Paul is admitting and confessing that both those things are alive in him, emotion and logic. We think about him being the most logical and most reasonable and the most well-reasoned of the apostles because of how much he wrote that we read now. But it was his passion for the truth and relationship with Jesus that drove everything. And he's not afraid to remind them that this is where it's at. And we lose our effectiveness. Our passion gone means our strength and our effectiveness gone. So if we're not really in that first love and letting God love us in person right now, in these times that we find ourselves, then we've lost it because Jesus was passionate for us. We call his whole route to the cross and into the grave and resurrection the passion of the Christ. There's a reason why it's called that. So if we are dispassionate about the truth of God's love for us and his sacrifice for us, we will never allow him in, really. We will know the ideas, we'll think the thoughts, but we won't be moved to act in a way that is completely a reflection and a transparent window into the heart of God.
Well, this is sobering for me to read this as well. I can think back on times in my life when I've had the appearance of service to the Lord. For sure, I was doing that in the physical, but the heart wasn't in it.
Your friend Belinda calls that high-functioning apathy.
She does. Yeah. Yes, she does. And she's right. It is easy to get to that point in our life, especially those of us who have grown up in the church. We used to say that anytime the door was open, we were at the church. It's true for my life. And I know for yours as well. And for many of our listeners, it's so easy to just fall into that day in, day out, just that habit of being at church. And recently, you and I took a Sabbath on a Sunday. We didn't go to church. We stayed home. We had a fire in the fireplace. We read books. We watched some football on TV. We rested.
It wasn't just an idea that we just needed to break mentally. We had some physical issues too. We were recovering from a lot of things, saying, we just need to not push ourselves to do this today.
But I think it was important to remind ourselves of the rest of Christ, of the rest.
We did talk about Sabbath, not just ignore church.
Yes. Regaining that passion or reigniting that passion for service is just imperative. It is so important. And I don't mean to drum it up in such a way that it's, oh yes, I'm going to be passionate about this and be all frantic about it. No, but just rekindling that fire, that first love, that deep passion for service, for loving the body, for loving unbelievers and loving those around us.
But we also take a pause right there and go back to what Paul just told these men. Remember, that it's the passion for Jesus, him first, that drives all the rest of this. The other passions, the ones that bring purpose and meaning to our life, the way we actually act, are still grounded in our passion for him. Mm-hmm. Our encounter with the living Christ is the thing that everything else has to be built upon,
right?
Or nothing really is ever built.
Yeah. So he continues with his commissioning service.
Yes, it is a commissioning.
Yes.
No doubt.
And so now I entrust you into God's hands and the message of his grace, which is all that you need to become strong. All of God's blessings are imparted through the message of his grace, which he provides as the spiritual inheritance given to all of his holy ones. Mm-hmm. I haven't been after your money or any of your possessions. You all know that I've worked with my hands to meet my own needs and the needs of those who've served with me. I've left you an example of how you should serve and take care of those who are weak. For we must always cherish the words of our Lord Jesus, who taught giving brings a far greater blessing than receiving. So I looked this up, this little phrase, and I know that Jesus said this, it's better to give than to receive. It's the common phrase
blessed
that we use.
Happy, yeah.
Yeah. It's an Aramaic idiom that speaks of extravagant generosity. And I like
pouring
that.
It out.
Yeah.
Like a big party.
It says, blessed are those who try to give more than they've been given. So you're trying to outgive God, which we know we can't do that, but it is a spiritual discipline to just be a giver, to have that spirit of giving.
And it's a measure without measure. Mm-hmm. So instead of saying, oh, he helped me out by paying off this bill, that bill was worth $35. Oh, I should go help their family pay something that's $50. Mm-hmm. We're not measuring the quanta of a gift. We are outlandishly saying, whatever God can give, he can give me the power to give right back to him. Mm-hmm. So it'll be maybe a different nature. He gave us something that brought joy to us. We'll pour out our joy as a gift to him in worship. There are all kinds of ways that are reciprocal, but are not identical. Mm-hmm. I think God is talking about a lifestyle that says, we have the capacity because of him to up our game. Mm-hmm. And to say, because God is a giver, I can be too. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to be ashamed of the gift that God leads me to give.
Right.
This is not about comparison. It's about opportunity and love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Coming up next, more with Bram and Sandy Floria as they chase the word together. Compassion Radio is here not just to teach the truth, but to provide you with opportunities to do the truth. That's why we've built and supported an orphanage in Hong Kong, provided beds for homeless children in India, counseled street kids in Hollywood, ministered to widows, carried Bibles into China and Vietnam, helped establish churches and provide Bibles in Indonesia, North Korea, and Southeast Asia, provided sight for the blind in Africa, aided refugees from Kosovo, and given tens of thousands of dollars to feed the hungry. Our goal is to teach the word clearly and accurately, always applying that word to building the kingdom. And we invite you to join our family as we learn together, witness together, and serve together. Please go to CompassionRadio.com today to find out more about this ministry. Again, that's CompassionRadio.com.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
You ride upon the clouds, you lead me to poured out all your blood. You died upon the cross. You are my Jesus who loves me. You poured out all your blood. You died upon the cross. You are my Jesus who loves me.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
I will sing again.
After Paul finished speaking, he knelt down and prayed with them. Then they all cried with great weeping as one after another hugged Paul and kissed him. What broke their hearts the most were his words, "You will not see my face again."
Yeah.
Then they tearfully accompanied Paul back to the ship. He got on board and sailed away.
End of chapter 20. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that walk, or being the last person in line to hug.
Mm.
If you've ever been in a goodbye, or even at the bedside of someone who's passing away, others have gone before you, and they've just broken down hugging the person they love. And then it comes your turn. You're thinking, this could be awkward, especially if you're in a long line of people.
Mm.
The initial crying has ended, the praying has ended, and now it's just a matter of that empty space. And then it comes back around to you, and in that moment, the touch, and then suddenly the emotions well up again.
Mm-hmm.
This is happening for all these people in that room of the formal goodbyes and in that long walk. And I'm sure after Paul sails away, they have to go through another grieving of the separation itself.
Right.
And then they got that long journey back to Ephesus. I bet you that during all that time that they were traveling back to Ephesus, the Spirit was bringing to life and to memory all of those things that Paul didn't even get a chance to talk about in that meeting. Remember that time when Paul talked about, boom, the conversation's enlivened again?
Yeah. Yeah.
How often do we do that when we think about the people who have motivated us to good works, pointing our lives and our hearts towards Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Do we spend time talking about that?
Mm.
I think we ought to do more of it.
Yeah.
Even remembering our forefathers, maybe our grandparents or our parents who came before us that had that heart and that spoke the truth to us and loved us through hard times. Revisiting those things bring life to us because if they're based on the sure foundation of Jesus himself, it brings back to life our need to root ourselves into that foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So let's spend more time remembering, remembering the good things that God has brought to us, the truth. There is no hopeless sorrow in truth. There can be the truth that something hurt when it was said, or that something happened that was painful, but there is no hopelessness or shame in remembering the truth.
Right.
And sometimes we have to remember how God brought us through things that if we had stayed where we were, would have been disastrous for our souls and for our lives. And then God changed it.
I think it's a good idea to approach every goodbye in this way.
Hmm.
We don't really have the guarantee that we will see our loved ones again. They had the luxury of hearing this from Paul.
That's a revelation, yeah.
That God has revealed that I will not see you again. We will not be together again. We don't know that on a daily basis of those that we love, those that live far away from us, or even in the next town or close by. And just to approach those relationships when you say goodbye to them, and I don't mean in a sappy way, but just to be reminded that this is a gift. This relationship is a gift. And we can be extravagantly generous in
our words
and our love for them.
And this is not about a morbid thing either. It's not saying, imagine them being dead.
No.
This is about literally taking the opportunity to bless.
Mm-hmm.
More blessed it is to give than to receive. Perhaps the words are done, but you have more love to show. You can be extravagant right back with your love.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing to be embarrassed about pouring yourself out, even if it seems awkward to the person you're giving it to.
Mm-hmm.
They may not understand it yet, but to hold back is to regret when it comes to blessing somebody. I think that's an absolute axiom in life.
Mm-hmm.
We will regret what we do not bless and that we have not blessed. I think that's a challenge for any of us in today's age. Remember that, as you said, we're not guaranteed tomorrow, neither are they. But the point is, we are guaranteed this moment.
Yes.
And in this moment, we can bless if we choose to and not fear for the future, but fear the missed opportunity to bless somebody.
Yeah, I like that.
We have to wrap up this chapter of these beginning of goodbyes in Paul's life. where he's got his mind and his heart set like flint toward Jerusalem and on to Rome. We don't know what's coming next for us, but you and I feel in some ways that our hearts are sharpened to go the places, to be the ears and eyes of this Compassion Radio family mm-hmm. in ways that we can find new stories and discover in 2020 and beyond what God is doing mm-hmm. in the world. And that happens because our family is standing with us. Like Paul's people in Ephesus, praying over him as he left, I ask for our Compassion Radio family to be doing the same thing for us and the ministry of Compassion Radio around the world. If you would, honey, let's pray together and thank God for the example in the life of Paul at this chapter. Your Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the incredible example of Paul in this chapter especially, that as he sets his heart and mind on the things that you have called him to, we know that he knows with assurance and passion in his heart that you will take him everywhere that you intended him to go. We can know the same thing now, even if we haven't seen the revelation of it yet or a clarity of vision, we still know that you have a plan that we're part of. And that you will take us to places, if we are obedient, that you intend for us to go for your name's sake and for your glory and for our blessedness, our happiness, our deep sense of purpose and completion in our lives. Our lives will mean something and we'll know it. You can make that happen in our lives, just like you did in Paul's. And we know that sometimes those breakings, those goings, those passings cause great emotional pain because there are things that rend the fabric of what we think is normal or is the thing we're so used to. Every goodbye is difficult, Lord, especially if it's based in the love that comes from you. Your love is passionate. So, Father, for those who are facing goodbyes right now, whether they're losing a loved one, whether they're moving to a new town, or saying goodbye to a career that they've loved, or some other kind of transition that was either expected or unexpected but is still difficult, I pray on behalf of our Compassion Radio family right now, our friends, that you would be for them what you were for Paul, and for the apostles around him, and for all of the elders in Ephesus as they said goodbye to each other, that you would be the assurance of all they hope for and the guarantee of all the things that they are called to step up into. This is their faith in action. Their faith is just as much about how they deal with the now as it is about what's coming in the future. So, Lord, I pray that you would bless our Compassion Radio family with a growing sense of your love and enthusiasm for your loved ones, and that you are very close indeed to the hearts of those who are hurting. In your precious name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Onwards and upwards, chapter 21, next time we get together on Chasing the Word.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Now, second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.